This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast, powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, and I am joined today. It's Chiefs week, so we know we have to call up Seth Kaiser from the Athletic KC to come on the program with us and talk some Chiefs Patriots. Seth, this is becoming a ritual. Every single time these two teams come together, we get on the podcast, and I'm happy to have you back on.
Hey, it's great to come on, but every time I come on with you, I'm afraid because now the Chiefs are 0-2, yes. And I feel like I'm doing something wrong somehow.
Maybe we're, you know, giving away too many state secrets, and Bill Belichick's in there right now listening to us talk on the podcast. That, of course, is not the case at all. But, yeah, you know, last two times we were just reminiscing about last season, me maybe enjoying it a little bit more than you. But it's really fascinating when these two teams come together, even pre-Mahomes, like when Alex Smith was the quarterback of the Chiefs, still, as soon as Andy Reid got to Kansas City, this has been a great matchup, and it's kind of gone both ways. You know, the Chiefs obviously won in 2014 in the on to Cincinnati game, and then they won again in week one in that opener after the Patriots won the Super Bowl in 2016, the 2017 season opener. So it's gone kind of both ways. I know the Patriots won both games last year, but we were just talking about how those two games came down to the wire too. So they give us this game always seems to deliver.
It does. I mean, you really have two of the best coaches in the NFL. I don't think anyone debates that Belichick is the best coach in NFL history at this point. And people who do, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what to tell people who debate that because it's so clear. The great thing, you know, Andy Reid's a little more controversial, but most people that know the game have a ton of respect for Reid. And they've both been doing this for so long, and they've been so successful for so long, and they've adapted to a changing NFL, and they always change what they're doing year to year, and they're just fun to watch. And it's an interesting thing because this rivalry that's between the Patriots and the Chiefs is kind of recent, because it's only recently the Chiefs have been good enough to be even close to a rival. And so it's fun to see a continuation of that. I agree, last year's games were barn burners. They were a lot of fun. I'm just hoping that somehow Patrick Mahomes is the guy with the ball in his hand last on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, maybe they win the coin flip this time or something like that.
Oh, God, don't remind me. Or maybe their defensive edges can stay on sides at the end of the game. That still haunts me, and I appreciate that we're like 2 minutes into this and you haven't said something about it yet.
Yeah, the offsides penalty, the coin flip. Listen, there are certain times, and I think Patriots fans are listening to this right now. They're saying, Evan, you better defend the wall right now and say something about how, you know, the defense could have gotten a stop on three consecutive third downs in overtime and so on and so forth, which is definitely true. But, and this isn't an indictment on the Patriots at all, in order to win a Super Bowl, you need to get a few breaks, right? No matter what team it is, whether it's the Patriots or any other team, go throughout the course of NFL history, nobody has won a Super Bowl with zero luck or zero things going their way or zero bounces of the ball going one direction or 1 foot offsides or something like that. Now, D-Ford was very offsides, to be fair.
He was happy to call it. It was such a mistake. And one of the reasons the Patriots are so great is they don't shoot themselves in the foot like that.
Yeah.
They don't make stupid mistakes. Now, you know, how could the Chiefs have prevented that? I don't know. But, yeah, it's not a denigration to the Patriots. They deserve to win that game. From a Chiefs fan's perspective, the Chiefs, in a way, deserve to lose that game because that is one of those, like, there are very few games that literally come down to one play, but you can, like, with that game, you can say if that one play was different, they might have been in the Super Bowl. But what are you going to do? The Patriots deserved it, and then they did a great job against McVay and the Rams. Kind of seems like they gave away the formula to beat the Rams. Yeah. And so I'm excited for this week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think the one thing about that end of the game that we're going to talk about the game coming up was that really – we were talking about the chess match between Belichick and Andy Reid. Yeah. Watching that fourth quarter and watching them go back and forth with adjustments on the offensive side of the ball, because really until the fourth quarter, the defenses were winning that game. you know, that both defenses were kind of holding serve and doing pretty well. Certainly the Patriots defense shut out the Kansas City offense in the first half, and it was really a defensive battle for three quarters of that game. And in the fourth quarter, it seemed like both offensive coaching staffs finally figured out ways to kind of solve the riddle and solve the puzzle. And all of a sudden we have just an absolute breakout. You know, I think there were 40 points or something like that scored after the third quarter, you know, when you include the overtime also. So it was wild. It was back and forth. Kansas City actually had a lead at one point. You know, it was a crazy, crazy game. One of the best football games I think I'll ever go to. And that is what it's all about. You know, that's what makes this matchup so great, is that it delivers big time games like that one. And the regular season game was pretty darn good also. You know, that obviously came down to a game winning field goal as well. I think to talk about this game on Sunday, I think the biggest question that I have about Patrick Mahomes for you is just how the regression with the stats was inevitable, right? He wasn't going to throw 50 touchdowns every single year. So I don't, do you see him getting worse, better, same? You know, where do you see him on the tape right now in terms of where he was last year to this year?
Sure. Like you said, you know, statistical regression is basically inevitable. Historically, it's been literally inevitable. I thought Mahomes might be able to break the mold, but one of the reasons regression occurs statistically is things that you can't control, like health.
Right.
And the Chiefs offense hasn't been healthy all year. And, you know, Mahomes missed 2 3/4 games, played another 4 or 5 games very, very gimpy. That affects things. Hill being out, all this other stuff. On film, Mahomes is, in my opinion, and there's a caveat here because we need to talk about the last couple weeks because something's been a little different. He's better this year than he was last year in that he's more patient. He's going through his reads a little bit quicker. He's more often correct on his first read, which to me is indicative of superior pre-snap reads. He's seeing blitzes a little bit better, so you're not seeing as many free blitzers run free. You know, and that's something that fans often blame on the offensive line. But generally speaking, generally, not all the time, if you have a completely free blitzer running at the cornerback and he's not, you know, lofting it over their head to the open zone, that's more on the quarterback than the line. You know, they're supposed to see that pre-snap. The center can't see everything. And you're seeing that less often this year. Blitzes aren't getting to him as much. So a lot of those things that you would expect to see grow in a young player have grown. In terms of the last couple weeks, I said there's a caveat here. One thing that's been an interesting development to keep an eye on over the last few weeks is his pocket presence has been a little bit down. It seems like he's not trusting the offensive line quite as much. And you kind of see him slipping back into some bad footwork habits he had to start off last season, as opposed to the growth we saw early this season. So that's something worth keeping an eye on, and whether that's because he's trying to protect the knee or if he's just realized, man, my interior line sucks right now and I need to keep backing up or something bad's going to happen to me.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like what Tom Brady went through this year with his offensive line and kind of feeling a little bit of that pressure, even if it wasn't necessarily there. Right. Just having the line feel like it's closing in on you a little bit can really affect the quarterback. The thing that you said about him picking up blitzes more, I think that's obviously going to be a big thing this week. I actually asked Andy Reid about it, and he said, you know, Patrick's made improvements, but he's certainly going to have to be good at that this week. And that's obviously indicative of everything that the Patriots defense throws at a quarterback, no matter what. But certainly the two matchups last year, Bill Belichick spun the dial on Patrick Mahomes with the zero blitzes and the bluffs and all sorts of simulated pressures. And he just threw the kitchen sink at him. And it's one of those things that, yeah, maybe like one of us could watch the film and see Patrick Mahomes might not be ready for that. But I don't think that there was a ton of teams until that Week 6 matchup last year that were doing that to Patrick Mahomes. And it's just one of those Belichick things where he saw something on film where he realized that maybe he wasn't quite ready to handle that, all those pre-snap communications and disguising blitzes and picking up blitzes and stuff like that. Certainly was a problem in both matchups, but it sounds like, based off of what Reed said and obviously based off of what you're saying now, that he is getting a little bit better in that regard.
Yes, and I think he had to be. If you left last season saying things he needs to improve on, blitz recognition and disguised coverage recognition pre-snap were the two things that were the most prevalent. And really, with any quarterback, no matter how good they are their first year starting, there's just so much you haven't seen. And that was what it came down to with Mahomes. I'm really curious about the game plan this week because Mahomes is freakishly driven. He's there almost as much as Andy Reid is. And he studies just this odd amount. He's a weird guy, and I'm very grateful for it. You're familiar with that type of drive with Brady. You know, there's just always this, I have to be better, I have to be better. And with that, and with Reed and Mahomes knowing how Belichick was able to stymie Mahomes for a half at least in two straight games, I can't imagine Belichick approaches it the exact same way. Because if you play Andy Reid the exact same way multiple times in a row, it's like if you play Belichick the exact same way multiple times in a row, it's not going to end well. And so I'm so curious what wrinkle Belichick has that I assume he's going to, you know, build something on what he's already done. But really, it's just tough to adapt to blitzes that are as well disguised as what the Patriots do. And it's going to be almost as much on the receivers, in my opinion, and Reed with the routes that he calls as it's going to be on Mahomes and the line. Because I think guys are going to get free. I think there's going to be free rushers. I think there's going to be pressure. And what's going to be important is, can the Chiefs make the Patriots pay for being aggressive enough to where Belichick has to rein it in a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up because last week against Deshaun Watson and the Texans, the Patriots ran 7 cover 0 blitzes against Watson, and Watson shredded them on them. He had 72 yards and a touchdown against the 0 blitzes. And a big reason why was because DeAndre Hopkins specifically was getting open so quickly over the middle against Gilmore when they ran those zeros that even if there was a free runner, Watson was getting rid of the ball so quickly. And to the Texans' credit, they had the plan in place and were ready for him. You know, they really were prepared very well for those blitzes, and they were ready to see them and ready to react to them as well. So be interesting to see if the Patriots go with that strategy again, because if you listen, Hopkins is a great receiver, but he's not an absolute burner after the catch. If you let Mecole Hardman or Tyreek Hill catch a ball in space on a 0 blitz, then they might go to the house. You know, it's right. It might be a touchdown versus a 27-yard gain like it was at the end of that Texans game.
Right, and that's something the Patriots did such a great job against Tyreek Hill last year in both games. And I know he picked up his stats the first time around, you know, often, you know, on these big plays. They, you know, what are you going to do? Mahomes scrambles, you know, outside the pocket and chucks the ball 50 yards, and then Hill outsprints everyone. There's nothing to be done about that. That's just going to happen sometimes. But they really did a good job stymieing him and Kelce. And Belichick's always done a great job against Travis Kelce. Whenever people ask me how good Travis Kelce is, I say, watch the way the Patriots play him. They are terrified of Travis Kelce. They hit him all day. They've got multiple defenders near him. They're just like, this dude is the one guy we can't let beat us. But what's great about what Belichick did last year is they were able to bracket Hill while still paying that much attention to Kelce, and they gave Watkins not a ton of respect. They knew Gilmore could just shut him down. Yeah. So what's going to be interesting is, you know, you saw them employ some of this stuff, but, you know, Gilmore wasn't able to quite stymie Hopkins the same way, and I assume they probably were maybe bracketing Fuller deep or something like that. I'm curious if they think Watkins can win his matchups, because I'll tell you, Sammy Watkins has not looked particularly good for a lot of the season. He looks a step slower than he was, and there are a lot of people, not just fans, but analysts, including myself, who think that Mecole Hardman needs to get on the field more, because like you said, he's a guy who, he's not as good a route runner. He may not know the offense quite as much, but he's a guy, if he gets the ball with even a bit of space, there's a touchdown waiting to happen. And so I would love to see Hill and Hardman on some of those, you know, those deep crossing routes and stuff that the Texans utilized to try to take advantage of those 0 blitz looks.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about Mecole Hardman in a second, because the Chiefs, I think I told you this at the time, the Chiefs had the draft that I wanted the Patriots to have.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Kalen Saunders. I mean, hit it out of the park, in my opinion, with the first 3 picks. So we'll get to Hardman in a second. I want to go back to Hill and Kelce, because they are the straw that stirs the drink. Certainly Kelce, I think, is the guy that Mahomes and even Alex Smith went to third down, need a play, need a first down. You know, he's kind of the safety blanket. How much have you seen teams this year deploy the Pats AFC Championship game plan. You know, double Hill with the bracket coverage with two of your fastest guys, and then put a corner. It was J.C. Jackson for most of the game against Kelsey, and then Gilmore at the end. How much of that have you seen from opposing teams playing man coverage against these guys?
I've seen teams do a lot more of that with Kelsey, which, just on a side note, how crazy is it that at the end of the game they put Gilmore on Travis Kelsey?
You might see Gilmore on Travis Kelsey for long stretches of this game, not just at the end.
Absolutely. Well, and it's just such a crazy thing. Like, the best cornerback, in my opinion, in the NFL on a tight end, that is like, again, if you want to know how good Kelsey is, look at how Belichick defends him. He says, this is my best corner. We're going to put him on a tight end. Because this guy is just, because most defenders, Gilmore is one of the few defenders in the NFL that can cover Kelsey one-on-one. Almost no one else can do it. Corners, safeties, linebackers, it doesn't matter. So the problem that other teams have experienced is they don't have a player who can defend Kelsey. Gilmore can get it done. A really physical slot corner who's willing to fight for the ball and maybe has some help. But one thing they do a great job with is hassling Kelsey on his releases, especially if he's anywhere near the line of scrimmage. They can get that done, but other teams just aren't. They just don't have the horses for it. And so Kelsey he's almost at 900 yards already, I think, or something, maybe 950. And it's the quietest, I mean, that you'll ever see it, because it's just game after game, you know, six or seven catches for 80 or 90 yards, maybe a touchdown. And it's just so consistent. It's just like clockwork every game. So very few teams have been successful with that. Teams have been more successful with aggressive man coverage, physical approaches like what the Patriots employed throughout the AFC Championship, in that, you know, the Chiefs are a timing-based offense, and a lot of what they do, a lot of the routes they run are designed to take advantage of various types of zone coverage, and they kind of bend the routes around where guys are. And so you run to a lot of open space against zone, but those routes aren't great at creating separation against man, because you don't have a lot of sharp cuts. You don't have a lot of picks, none of that stuff. So teams have had more success playing aggressive physical man coverage, because besides Hill and Kelsey, Chiefs receivers have not done a great job beating it. So teams have had more success this year than last year, kind of employing some of those same tactics that you're talking about that the Patriots employed. So that's reason to be worried, because nobody's better at that than the Patriots.
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you look at the numbers of last season, the two games, and you combine them, when the Patriots played man against KC versus when they played zone, when they played man, I mean, listen, the numbers are still really good for Patrick Mahomes, as they are in most cases. But when they played man, Mahomes averaged 8.7 yards per attempt. When they played zone, that number went up to 10.9.
My God.
And I think it's a big thing of what you just said. And actually, in the Week 6 matchup, get ready for this stat, the zone coverage YPA for Patrick Mahomes in the Week 6 regular season game was 15.2. He averaged 15 yards per attempt against zone.
And teams have caught on to that this year. And what do they say? You know, you play man to beat the receivers, you play zone to beat the quarterback.
Right.
And that's why you've seen that with some teams against Deshaun Watson as well. They're just like, look, we can't play zone against these guys, because it's an exercise in futility. Brady's torn zone coverages to shreds for years.
Yes.
Because he knows where every hole is, and he's always going to make the right throw. And Mahomes, for all the talk about just being, you know, a guy that runs around like crazy, he is exceptional against zone coverage. And I think more and more teams are figuring that out this year and saying, we're going to make those playmakers beat us. And really, again, Hill and Kelsey have been exceptional, but Watkins hasn't really answered the call this year. Robinson has here and there. They just, they aren't getting quite enough from their playmakers.
Yeah, the other thing, too, you mentioned it briefly. I think Andy Reid's kind of the zone buster. I think his schemes, they had that one 47-yard completion to Kelsey where he had the double post, and then Kelsey came over on the over route from the opposite side, and it was just a wide-open catch for Kelsey because they busted the zone. And I really just feel like watching Andy Reid's offense, you mentioned that a lot of things are about them running into space and running into pockets of space and letting those guys win in foot races all over the field. That's a recipe for disaster against zone. If you don't get into these guys' faces and you don't get physical with them and you just let them run around the field like that, it's going to be a long day. And the Patriots found that out playing just a little bit of zone coverage in the AFC title game. They were 83% man in the AFC title game. And the 17 snaps or 17% that they played zone, Patrick Mahomes really shredded them just like he did in the regular season game. So I liked what you said about how you can't do the same thing over and over and over again against Andy Reid. So I'm very interested to see if they know that they got to play more man, but they know that Reid is expecting them to play man, you know, that's the chess match, right? You know,
right.
What do you do and how do you combat it so that you do kind of get into some situations where you're doing something that's a little bit unpredictable?
Right. I almost have a feeling. I mean, these are both very good teams. The Chiefs have played kind of below their talent level this year due to injuries and just a few games they just shouldn't have dropped. But I'm almost curious, despite both teams being very, very good, I almost have a feeling about this game that it might not be that close. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like a 30 or 40 point blowout or something crazy, because I think both teams are way too good for that. But, you know, when you talk about the chess match, I think it's really going to come down to which coach has the adjustment that the other one isn't quite ready for. And it's often been like that, it seems, when Belichick and Reid face each other. The times where the Chiefs have won, they've won going away. And it's been a situation where Reid just had something. And Belichick, I remember, even said it after the first time that the Patriots were done, like back in 2014 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
It was a shellacking on Monday Night Football. And he said, look, Andy's always done that. He threw stuff at us we weren't ready for. And I think if the Chiefs are able to do that, I think they can run going away, because I don't think New England quite has the offense to get into a shootout this year. And on the other hand, Belichick may well have some stuff that Reid just isn't ready for. And you see the Chiefs, you know, with a goose egg again after a half a play or three quarters, and the Patriots are able to kind of run away with it. And so that coaching matchup kind of has me feeling like, you know, this might be the time where one of them just adjusts in a way the other one's not ready for.
Yeah, I've been kind of feeling the same way this week, and the pessimist in me is feeling that way towards the Chiefs. But I think one thing that you said was that the Chiefs offense is probably going to keep coming at the Patriots defense and probably going to keep putting points on the board in some way, shape, or form, whether it's field goals or touchdowns. The Patriots offense, I don't know if they're in a spot right now where they're ready to really get into a shootout with a really good offense. And if they have to do that, it reminds me a little bit of that 2017 week one matchup where in the fourth quarter, Kansas City just ran away with it, you know, and they just had too much offense. And I wonder if we're going to run into that kind of problem this week. I wanted to ask you about the running backs, though, specifically throwing to the running backs, because in that title game, that was kind of one of the cards that Andy Reid pulled out in that fourth quarter, where those little swing passes and pick plays and stuff like that against man coverage and the Patriots linebackers having to cover the Chiefs' backs out of the backfield. How have you seen them use the backs in the passing game this year? Because I did see a few pick plays in that Oakland game on that opening drive.
You know, Reid always does a good job using his backs. They've had some issues with injuries. Damian Williams isn't practicing today as we record on Thursday, and so it seems unlikely that he's going to play. He's a really good receiving back, and so that's going to be problematic for them. LeSean McCoy has been solid when called upon, but he's been fairly light in usage, and he's had a fumbling issue, which is funny because his whole career he's carried the ball like a loaf of bread, but he's never had a fumbling problem, and now this year he's got 3 or 4 fumbles. So they do a good job getting the ball to guys in space, but the guys that they've really wanted to, you know, Damian Williams was going to be a major part of the offense. He's just been hurt a lot of the year. And so last week at the end of the Raiders game, you saw them start getting the ball more to rookie Darwin Thompson, who is more of a guy with some explosion, some burst to hit the edge, can make guys miss in space. So they've been doing a lot of that same stuff that you see. It hasn't been quite as effective because the backs haven't been healthy, and that's been problematic. I'm guessing that's a big part of the game plan, just because I saw that's one way that Houston was able to take advantage of what the Patriots like to do, is you can eventually end up with, you know, Hightower and man coverage on a Duke Johnson, and that's just not going to work. And that's hopefully, from my perspective, maybe something that the Chiefs plan on doing is just make the Patriots pay for using man coverage by splitting out some running backs wide. Because I love Hightower. I think he's an excellent player, but he's not meant to cover LeSean McCoy in space.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a lot of Patriots fans and a lot of us analysts too, over the last couple of years, have certainly drummed this point over and over again about the Patriots linebackers and coverage. And I do think it's kind of indicative of the entire league. I think that we don't talk about that enough, in the respect that a lot of teams have trouble covering pass catching running backs with their linebackers. You know, they're
Absolutely.
Not a ton of linebackers across the league. I know in Kansas City, you know, you've had some problems with that as well.
Yeah. So,
and we can talk about that in a second. And before we turn over to the defense side of the ball, though, we do have to talk about Mecole Hardman, because that's my guy. And
yes.
I'm very jealous that he's a Chief. And he is just, I think that what difference between him and some other just flat out burners are that he can win at all three levels. Like you can throw him a jet sweep, a little pop pass or something like that, and have him take an end around 60 yards to the house. You can throw him a little quick hitch and have him turn up field and take that 60 yards to the house, like again did it against the Titans, or like he did against Oakland the first time around. He can just take the top off the defense. So his speed translates in every way, shape, or form. It's not just one kind of speed. It's a lot of different kinds of speed, and he also can return kicks and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a fantastic rookie, and he's really seems to add more speed, if that's even possible, to this Chiefs offense. You guys have so much speed. It's not fair.
Well, the problem is Watkins lost a step. It's like, God, can't we just have everyone be at
their
fullest?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, you only have 2 4-2.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I need that third one.
Yeah.
Hardman, I really like him. I actually, during the bye week, I watched a few hundred of his snaps. And the thing with rookies or first-year receivers in Andy Reid's system, it's the same story. They're not going to get as many opportunities because Reid insists that they know how to play X, Y, and Z. They got to know how to play all three spots. And Hardman isn't there yet, and you can tell with the snaps that he's getting. But when he gets
Sounds
the ball...
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Young receivers.
when he gets the ball, he's averaging 12.2 yards per target, and he's tied for the league lead with Stephon Diggs. He's got, I think it's 5 touchdowns of 20 plus yards, multiple touchdowns of like 40, 50 plus yards. And he is, if it weren't for Tyreek Hill's existence, I would say Mecole Hardman might be the fastest player in the league.
Yeah.
He is, you talk about burners. He has that, like, and again, he's not quite Hill, because no one's Hill. Hill is just freaky. He's weird, but I'll say Hardman has that like DeSean Jackson type speed. And he just flat out runs away from guys. He wrecks angles. And you talked about winning at all three levels. He's quick, too. A lot of guys have good long speed, but they don't have good feet. You know, they're not able to make quick cuts. They don't accelerate maybe quite the way you'd like. Hardman can do all those things. And so I'm hoping to see his role continue to expand, because I think they need him. I really do. And I would love to see him have a big role. He barely played against the Raiders and had a lesser role than he's had for most of the season. And the tin foil hat guy in me makes me wonder if that's not a little bit of a, well, we're about to play the Patriots. Let's keep this guy kind of on the sideline and let's give him a bit more of a role. Because some of the things that they do with him, like the jet sweeps, like the quick, you know, tunnel screens, those kinds of things. Those are things that you can try to do against the Patriots to see if you can have some success. So I love Hardman. I think he's played really well. You said you're a Juan Thornhill guy too.
Oh,
He's been excellent. And I know we're going to talk about the defense in a bit, but this rookie class overall looks exceptional in Kansas City.
Well, I think a lot of people that studied the draft as much as you or me or whoever, any analyst, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, when they picked Hardman, Thornhill, I think that a lot of people could have told you that that was going to work out for Kansas City. You know, those are two guys that just a lot of different things on their tape in college. Hardman, it certainly was the speed, right? You know, speed just kills. And I think everybody saw that. But Thornhill, he's a complete player. And he has the intelligence and the football IQ to go along with his athleticism and his skill. And that was definitely there on that pick six last week. And you definitely saw that. We're going to move over to the defense side of the ball here in 1 second. But we first have to shout out our friends at betonline.ag. Football season is in full swing. Get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, betonline.ag. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit to start betting college or professional ball. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser, straight bet, parlay, or tease your way through the season. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, betonline.ag. Head on over to their website or use your mobile device to join and use promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus. All right, now to the defense. The Kansas City defense, I think, has gotten a lot better under Spagnuolo than it certainly was under Bob Sutton last year. Bill Belichick in his Wednesday press conference pointed out it's a completely different scheme. What's so different about it?
Oh, man. I mean, Belichick, when he said completely, I mean, he wasn't really exaggerating. I mean, even the like the very basic stuff, you know, it's a 4-3 instead of a 34. You and me both know that only affects probably 25 to 30% of the snaps.
Right.
But they are running, they're running much more variety in terms of how often they're using three safeties. That's almost entirely matchup dependent. They're playing way more zone. They're playing different types of zone. It used to, when Bob Sutton had them drop into zone, and I'm sure you probably saw this, they would drop into some very basic cover two, cover three type stuff. There's a lot more mix and match. There's a lot more disguised coverages. They're just doing all kinds of weird things on the back end, which I think you're seeing that more and more as the season progresses, a lot more disguises and a lot more gamesmanship and a lot more zone on the back end as the defenders are kind of learning the system. Up front, they run way more stunts and twists, something that, you know, as a Patriots guy, I mean, they do that. Belichick does it all the time. And yep. I think bringing over Daly from New England, I think that might be part of it. Bob Sutton hardly ever ran anything like that. It was, you had your four rushers, beat the guy in front of you. And it worked a lot of the time because they had D Ford and Justin Houston and Chris Jones. But this year they're relying just as much on getting guys moving, you know, helping one another out in the pass rush. Spagnuolo is also much more aggressive in terms of blitzing slot corners and safeties, as well as sending rushers from weird places. A lot more of what you see weekly in New England, where you've got, you know, seven guys at the line of scrimmage and you know some of them are dropping, you know some of them are rushing, but you don't know which are doing which. He's even had Derek Nnadi, the nose tackle, drop into zone coverage shallow, so that way you end up with, you know, three linemen standing there with no one to block, and then you overwhelm the left side of the line. So it's an entirely different scheme, and the personnel is so different too. They've replaced all kinds of people all across the board. It's very different than it was last year, and I think maybe the most important change has been in the safety group. They went from playing, you know, Jordan Lucas and Dan Sorensen as their main guys to Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill, and it's just been night and day.
Yeah, and both those guys had interceptions against Oakland, and I think the one that Thornhill had was a great read by him and just a great jump of the route. And it was a good coverage execution as well. But the one by Mathieu, I thought, really kind of hammered home the fact that this is a different Chiefs defense, because that was a complete disguised look, right? Right. It was some sort of five cougar call where they thought that it was man coverage and right. He peeled off of his guy and jumped the route. And those are the types of things that we see advanced secondaries in this league do, like the Patriots, for example, do it a bunch where they kind of disguise right. Those types of coverages. I watched a ton of Chiefs film last year, obviously, with two different matchups to comb through. I don't think I saw Bob Sutton run a disguised coverage like that and have the players execute it so well in any of the games I watched from Kansas City's defense last year.
I can tell you, I watch, yeah, it's my job. I watch every right. snap and chart a ton. I can't remember a single snap like that last year. Sutton didn't run a lot of disguises. He didn't run a ton of zone. And when they did run zone, I got to tell you, the corner group they had last year, which, interestingly enough, there's some of the same guys there this year, there were so many blown coverages all over the field. They're just, the communication wasn't there. It was just a wreck on the back end. And you mentioned the Thornhill pick. You can see prior to the snap on that play, him and Bashaud Breeland communicating as to who's going where. And so he knew Breeland was going to be covering to the outside, which would allow him to jump inside on the route. And just basic things like that that you'd think would be getting done every year. It just wasn't happening last year, and it is happening this year. Maybe that's a credit to Mathieu kind of taking that leadership role. Maybe it's a credit to Spagnuolo being a better communicator, but it's just a whole different ball game. And like you said, they are able to do more advanced concepts without worrying about, you know, just blown coverages all over the field.
So they're sixth right now in DVOA on defense against the pass.
Right.
they're still 30th against the run.
Yeah, it's still
bad. And we saw Josh Jacobs run pretty well, who's really awesome. If people aren't watching a lot of Oakland Raiders games this year, I understand. Go turn on the tape and watch Josh Jacobs. He's one of the best rookies in the league. Yeah, but what's going on with this defense, this run defense that's 30th in the league? Because the Patriots' run offense is not what it was last year, certainly. They're not going to have James Devlin. They're not going to have Gronk like they did in the two matchups against Kansas City last year. So they're not going to be that 21 personnel. We're just going to hammer it down your throats. But the last couple of weeks with Isaiah Wynn back in the lineup, they have been able to get the running game going a little bit. They have 10 runs over the last 2 weeks of 10 or more yards. You know, they're getting a little bit more going. And I think that Belichick is going to look at this defense and of Kansas City and say, this is a pretty darn good pass defense now, but run defense-wise, that's where they're vulnerable.
And I wouldn't blame him one bit for going that route. The run defense has been weird, would be the best thing. It's been bad, make no mistake. But they're a weird kind of run defense in that they'll give up, you know, run after run after run, and then suddenly, you know, on first and second down, both, they'll just stuff guys right in their tracks. Or in short yardage situations, they're oddly good sometimes. Now, some of that is just because every now and then Chris Jones just kind of takes a play over. He's a big factor into that. A lot of it has depended on what personnel they're using. So when teams have had the personnel in the field that have allowed Reggie Ragland to be out there, their run defense has been significantly better. They've altered Ragland's role this year. I mean, this is just one area where the defense is entirely different, where he is very often playing more of like a Sam linebacker for like a 43 under type look, to where he's on the line, as opposed to playing like that middle linebacker role, which kind of he gets exposed for his lack of lateral speed. But on the line, Reggie Ragland's so big and strong that he's able to help set edges and all that kind of stuff. So with certain personnel, like they picked up Mike Pinnell, real big nose tackle type, used to play for the Packers in free agency. He's been very solid against the run. When they've had those two on the field versus they used to have Joey Ivey on the field for a while for various reasons, or an extra, you know, secondary player, whatever, they've been okay against the run. It's when teams are able to use the correct personnel matchups that they start to really struggle. The biggest thing, though, is just their linebacker group, much like last year, is just limited. Anthony Hitchens is a decent player, but he was paid like a very, very good player, and he just doesn't have the sideline-to-sideline speed that you want. You know, Damian Wilson, he's okay. You know, their linebackers are a bunch of guys who are okay, but not really the guys you want to focus the attack around, and that's been problematic. Additionally, Colin Saunders has been excellent as the weeks have progressed. He started off very badly against the run. I mean, he got gashed against Indy and Houston. It was really, really ugly, and so as the year has gone on, though, he's actually become significantly more comfortable taking on guys at the point of attack. You know, Saunders, despite his size, he always played kind of like a finesse guy in college. And he seems to be improving in that area. He seems to be kind of coming around a little bit in terms of being comfortable using physicality. So that's helped. But the ultimate thing is they've been vulnerable on any edge that Frank Clark isn't playing. That's been a vulnerability. And they've at times been vulnerable up the middle. Derek Nnadi for a while was playing worse than he was last year. It's been inconsistent, and that inconsistent has been bad enough that has allowed teams to just gash them on the right plays. And so really, I expect Belichick to just, you know how he does things. I mean, he'll pick at a scab and then pick at a scab again and then pick at it again for a while, and he'll just keep going. You know, he will make teams, he'll run the ball 30 times in a row if that's what's working. And that differentiates him from other coaches. So if you were to tell me that, say, White or Michelle were going to run for 250 combined yards tomorrow, or Sunday, I'd say, yeah, that sounds about right. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting question in this game, I think, for the Patriots offense. They've had kind of a tough time getting the running game going in some weeks, and then other weeks, like last week against Houston, they got the running game going pretty well early on in that game. And then a combination of things, the score got kind of out of hand there for a little while. That certainly made it more a pass-heavy game, but it did feel like they kind of went away from it. So committing to the run this week and committing to really, you know, taking the ball out of Tom Brady's hands a lot of the time by running the football and what they did more towards the end of last year. If they play that kind of game, then I think that they have a chance in this game. If they try to get into a passing shootout with Kansas City, it's going to be a long day. You know, I really think that way the Kansas City defense is playing against the pass and obviously going up against Mahomes and those guys, you know, if you try to outscore those guys, it's going to be a tough time, I think, for the Patriots offense, certainly with the way that they're playing right now. All right, before we sign off, I want you to give me an X factor. I didn't limit you to big names or small names or anything like that. Just one player on the Kansas City defense that you think that could wreck this game or could have a big impact.
You know, it's the obvious answer, but I'm going to say Chris Jones.
No, it's the right answer. I was hoping you were going to say that.
He is, like, if you go back to say, like, the Chiefs were able to beat the Vikings without Patrick Mahomes. And a big part of that is because Chris Jones just took over that game down the stretch. Jones is the type of player where he can single-handedly end drives. And if he has that sort of game to where there are two or three drives that you can trace back to, well, first Jones stuffed White at the line of scrimmage, then he, you know, contained the edge with Michelle, and then he sacked Tom Brady. If he has two or three drives like that, I think it could be a pretty tough day for the Patriots on offense. Even though it's the obvious answer, it's the correct answer. He's the best player on that defense by a country mile.
Yeah, I think it's also a great answer because the Patriots are down to their third string center now. They're not going to have Ted Karras is going to be out for this game at least. Hopefully get him back next week against Cincinnati, but it's looking like a couple of week MCL injury for Karras. So now James Ferentz is actually going to step in and play center on Sunday against Kansas City.
Yeah.
If I was Kansas City and Spagnuolo, I would put Chris Jones right over James Ferentz's butt and see where if James Ferentz is ready for that matchup.
Right, yeah, because that's tough. That's tough. Interior guys that aren't ready against Jones, and I imagine Belichick is preparing for this. He's a problem. He is just he's one of the better, in my opinion. And I'm jaded, I suppose. But if you look at him snap by snap and compare him to the best guys in the NFL, the only guy that I would say is undisputedly better than him on the line is Aaron Donald.
Yeah. No, he's an absolute game wrecker, and he had some big plays last year in those games, too. And I'm very interested to see, you know, one thing that Skarnecchia and Belichick and McDaniels are great at are when they do have one guy, like a weak link on the line, they right. are pretty good at being able to scheme ways to help that guy out. Now, it's a lot easier, I think, at least, when it's an interior guy versus a tackle, right? And Marshall Newhouse, for example, when he is starting at left tackle for the Patriots for most of the season, it was a big-time struggle on the left side because they just there was not a ton that they could do. You could leave a tight end in, you could chip with a back, but you're, like, taking a guy out of the route progression at that point. You know, you're taking right. him out of, you know, running a route. So that was a big problem for them. When it's an interior guy, you can have Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason, two of the best guards in football, help out James Ferentz a lot in those situations. But like I said, if I was Kansas City, I would do what it takes to get some isolation plays where it's just Ferentz versus Chris Jones one-on-one. And absolutely. I don't think that that's going to end too well for the Patriots if they can get them into those types of spots. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But, Seth, this was awesome per usual. Is there anything else you want to plug or tell people where they can find you on Twitter as well?
Sure. You know, you can always find me on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Had that handle long before I was an analyst, and I'm not giving it up just because I'm an analyst now. and then obviously you can find any of the work that I do on theathletic.com. I'm going to actually be publishing a game plan type thing about the Chiefs versus the Patriots. So Patriots fans, you might be interested in reading it. Don't know if I'll put anything in there you don't already know, but it'll be a little insight into what direction the Chiefs might be coming from in terms of a game plan.
Yeah, see, I do a game plan every week, too, from the Patriots' perspective, looking at the opponent. So now people can get the full 360 view here and look at the other way from Seth, and then you'll be ready for this game, no doubt. There'll be no stone unturned for Patriots fans. We are going to be at Patriots Chiefs on Sunday. Myself, Sierra Goodwill, Alex Barth, Trags, the whole CLNS crew will be there for the game at 4:25 on Sunday. And we'll be back next week on the podcast to mostly recap this game because I don't think the 1-11 Bengals are going to give us much to talk about. But we'll see what happens. Maybe the Bengals, they won last week. Maybe they get a little bit feisty. But Seth, I know you're really looking forward to this one. So am I. It's going to be a fantastic game. And, you know, I won't rag on you too much if the Patriots win. And I hope the same goes the other way.
Oh, absolutely. That's all we can ask.
Absolutely. All right, Seth. Thanks so much, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We'll be back next week on the Patriots All-22 podcast. Thanks for listening.